Good morning. Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Radio Show, the voice of the Tri-County area. My name is Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers in Calhoun and Pike Counties. And with me is the legendary Calhoun legend, world champion of the world, goose calling, hunting guide, Cole Foyles.
How's it going, Aaron? That was quite an intro. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you for being here for the first ever WJBM Outdoor Radio Show.
I'm honored. You chose me first.
Who else in the world would want to come here?
So this guy across from me, we've been buddies a long time. We've got a lot of good hunting stories together. And this is going to be a lot of fun.
I was telling my mom. I called her on my way here, and I was telling her, I'm like, well, the first guess, I'm like, well, Cole is probably the person I hunt with the most.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when I get time to go hunting.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in the same situation with you, with you guiding deer and turkey and me guiding waterfowl. We don't get a lot of free days. So when we do, we usually link up and go see what happens, even if it's going to be a bad day.
Exactly. Oh, man. All the cool stuff that I was thinking leading into today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, world goose calling champion of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is fact of matter. Cole, walk us through your calling career a little bit.
Well, I got started competition duck and goose calling when I was 4 years old. There's how it starts out when you're young. There's 12 and under division, and then there's an intermediate when you get older, 13 through 16. And then it goes into the adult versions. So when I was growing up with the call business, we were going to a lot of shows. And when a kid, you want to sit behind a booth all day, I know I'm going to learn how to call and go have some fun on stage. So I won a lot of youth competitions from Colorado, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, here, there, and yonder. But once you grow up, then you get with the big boys and you get your butt kicked for a while. So you got to have some tough skin and keep working at it. And I've won quite a few adult titles, duck and goose, but won the Illinois State a couple times. But the biggest one was, the world all around calling contest. It was a world championship. And how that goes is you blow four rounds. Round one is going to be a duck routine. Round two is going to be a Canada goose. Round three is speckle belly. And round four is snow goose. So it's kind of a jack of all trades. Like, there's a world duck calling contest and there's a world goose, but this one, you kind of got to be a jack of all trades. And I actually won it twice, 2 years in a row.
Back to back.
And then COVID hit, and then I didn't get the three-peat. The first year I won it in every division. So that one meant the most, and it's your first one. So got to love that. Then I won it the next year, and then, like I said, COVID hit, and then it's been up and down from there. Won a couple since then, but not the world, but we're working at it.
Man, COVID.
Yeah.
That put a damper on a lot of back-to-back-to-back championships.
And the crazy thing in the guiding world for us, I don't know if deer was like that, but as bad as COVID was, that was the most customers that we ever had as far as clients coming in to hunt and camp. And nobody had nothing to do.
Everybody wanted to get out.
Get out, whether they hunted before or not. They got to go experience it. That was pretty cool. So we did get a little good out of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I had a group of guys call me, and the guy told me the dates he could come. And I just said, you know, it's the last week of season. I don't usually book that. And he said, well, I guess that's the only chance we got to come, so mm-hmm. what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess we're going to go hunting, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah, all day. Also, you're a hunting guide.
Yeah.
You know, waterfowl primarily. I will say this guy is legendary in the woods regardless of species, based off my own account. But let's hear a little bit about your waterfowl operation.
So our guide operation, if you want to look us up, is Foyles Fallen Skies Outfitters. We do book some hunts, but we primarily book through Harpole's Heartland Lodge. They do a little bit of everything, but we take care of all the waterfowl. So I can just give you a little rundown on how a morning duck hunt would work. Yeah. So we'll meet you at the lodge of a morning. Yeah, have a little meet and greet and follow us up there. And depending on where we're hunting, if you're here 3 days, you can see three different sceneries. We'll take it. We're going to go where the ducks are, but we got river blinds, we got dry field pits in the, you know, in ground pits. We got timber holes, we got open water areas. We'll flood some food, but you get to see a little bit of everything, but we'll pick you up in the morning. Let's just say we're going to one of our lease holes. So we'll get to the farm. We'll pile in a side by side. We drive you right to the blind, get you in there, get everything situated. And the number one thing, once we get all situated in the blind, have our safety talk every morning. We don't want anybody getting hurt, but then we'll start trying to get some birds, start rounding up some birds. And, about 9 o'clock, things settle down a little bit. We'll, cook breakfast. Feed you. We got heat in every blind, cookers, everything. I always said, if this de-guiding thing don't work out, I got a good job being a chef at Denny's. We'll have a good little hunt. And we usually, unless we limit out early, about 11 o'clock, we'll head in. And if you poke through Harpole, we'll take you in at 11. You get to eat lunch, get kind of settled in at the lodge. But instead of sitting around the rest of the afternoon waiting on the next morning, they'll take you out. You can do upland pheasant hunts or whatever. But as far as our Canada goose hunts and our snow goose hunts go, those are primarily all day, unless we, like on Canada's, we limit out. Snow geese, there's no limit on them in the snow goose season, so we're gonna sit out there and see how many we can get. We'll cook you breakfast, lunch, cut up, have a good time, electronic callers. I like doing it all, but if we're talking waterfowl, that snow goose is pretty hard to beat.
It's a lot of fun.
We run 8,000 decoys, 6 e-callers, and sometimes, as crazy as it sounds, I don't think it's enough. but we have a good time. You can, you know, no limit. I mean, you shoot all the snows and blues you want, but all of it's fun, but that's got to be my favorite to guide out of all of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, so your primary snow goose hunting is right there off of the Mississippi River.
Yeah, we're in the Mississippi River bottoms. I mean, less than a mile from the river. Yeah, we're right there. We got in-ground pit, cookers, the whole nine. Like I already explained it, we got a big spread, full body, socks. We did have a water hole we were running. We're going to go back to a dry setup for this year. But it's a good time. A lot of good times to be had out in that snow goose pit.
Oh, my gosh.
And those snow geese, they come up that, you know, we got the Illinois River, and we got the Mississippi, kind of where we're sitting. I mean, we get most of our birds are going to come migrating up the Mississippi Highway. You know, I always say that's the highway for them heading north. But we get a lot of birds there. But if you look at Calhoun County, we're just a peninsula, the bluff there. So them snow geese, they'll cross from the Illinois over that bluff. And not every day, but when them days happen, those are some really good ones.
Oh, yeah.
They'll throw you a curveball when they show up.
Some ragers.
Yeah. And the beauty of snow geese hunting is too, as the season, the way that snow geese migrate, those adults push first, and they got a Harvard education. I mean, they'll test your sanity some days, but unless the conditions are right. But as it goes on, you want to, as much as you're getting beat down, you need to stay after, because then that's when them young ones come up, those non-breeders, and when them young ones come up, they see white, you better just get your gun ready.
That's right. Hey, I'll tell you what's interesting is I was asking a friend of mine who's a farmer, and I was like, hey, so when these birds land in your field, do they fertilize it for you? And he said, hell no. He's like, they bring ironweed, pigweed, all that stuff from down south. We don't want them landing in our fields.
We shot a snow goose last year. And this is the only one I've ever seen like that. You know, they're coming from the southern states, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. And we killed one. And I don't know if it was in the Boot Hill, Missouri. I'm just thinking of how this could have worked, but it did. We shot one. His crop was full, so we cut it open. Full of rice. And they're big rice farmers down south. So I never seen that before. It's pretty cool.
They fly so far.
Yeah. They can cover a lot of ground quick when that south wind kicks in. That's for sure.
Little boy Brody, he's 3 months old. And, you know, we try to read to him at night. Yeah. And one is like a little A to Z of hunting.
Yeah.
And in the end, there's some little facts. And it says that Canada goose can fly up to 1,500 miles in a day.
I believe it.
That's bananas.
It's it sounds bananas, but you... When you aren't seeing a bird and you're hearing about guys north or south of you killing them, depending on what you're hunting, and then you get up the next morning and there's been a hard north wind or a south wind for snow geese, and they're everywhere the next day. They come from somewhere.
Right. Snow goose hunting is so interesting to me because there's so many different factors.
Yeah.
You know, in the fall, it's fairly simple.
Yeah.
The birds are trying to go from north to south.
Yep.
And most of the time, if you get a cold snap, a freeze, something like that, it doesn't come from the south.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in snow goose season, they're pushing north.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you get a system in with a hard
freeze. It totally flip-flops
what
you want.
Right. But they're trying to go, and then this system is pushing them down.
Uh-huh.
And so...
Yeah, February, you never know what's going to happen weather-wise.
Right. And you could think that the big push, you know, of adults has come through because there's generally a little bit of a lag between the pushes.
Yeah, when they're trying to push north and you get that snow and ice that it gets too deep, they ain't crossing. It's like a brick wall.
Right.
2012, I think it was, we got a bunch of snow right when they started showing up, and but it was neat. We probably had, let's just say, 4 inches of snow, but they got a foot above us dang near, and then south of us they got like 8 or 10 inches, so it was like they were trapped. We shot a lot of snow geese that February.
Oh yeah. It's like another thing that's interesting about Calhoun is it seems like the weather patterns kind of like dissipate.
They do. I mean, look at the last couple Christmases, 50, 60 degrees, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're over there boating in the summertime or, you know, anytime there's a storm coming through, it seems like it goes down south to St. Louis.
Yeah.
It goes north up
through. Absolutely. Especially in Calhoun, it's like them storms go around that river. But if it gets inside them two rivers, boy.
It gets gnarly.
We threw a lot of sandbags.
Right.
Because of that.
No doubt.
Love it.
So, since hunting is 365, what are you working on right now?
Man, I wish I could say I've just been going out on the river and hanging out and just resting for before next season. But no, we've been 100 mile an hour. Right now we just built two new duck blinds. Had a couple old ones starting to fall in. Had to replace them. So got two new duck blinds ready. I got a new pup. I've been doing a lot of dog training. That's a full time job itself. So building blinds, been doing some dog training, stringing decoys. We got a couple new spots where a lot of our decoys were strung for, you know, 2-3 foot of water and got little weights on them. Now we got to put longer lines, deeper depth water, and put bigger weights on them. Cutting some brush.
Already?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I get that a lot already. It's June, you know, first part of July is coming up, but man, with the guiding, you know, we got a lot of options for our hunters, and I think we were doing the math. I mean, between our river blinds, our potholes, our drive pits, and a couple on our lakes and stuff. I mean, what do we got? 14 blinds. That's a lot of willows and pin oaks to cut. And every weekend goes by, and you're getting closer. You're losing time, so you got to jump on this stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, life's busy, so you got to take advantage of every free chance you got.
I will say, when it gets close to season, you're not out there scrambling.
No, like a lot of guys are. Yeah, I know. And it's a full-time job. Seems like it gets busier every year.
Right. Now, on some of your personal hunting, where you're, you know, just with the guys and hunting the river, you know, there was just the blind draw allocation.
Yeah. We do, all our guidings, you know, private ground. But when I'm not guiding, I grew up a lot hunting a lot of state ground and stuff, and a lot of my buddies state ground hunt. It's just kind of where you kind of get away. It sounds crazy. You're going to leave a private place for a state ground, but we got some good blinds in this draw, and we didn't just get one. We got four.
Right.
So let's just add on four more to what we're already doing. So, yeah, we've been out there already doing a bunch of patchwork, fixing those, make sure they're safe to hunt and everything. And got a couple things we'll critique and brush up. But, yeah, between there and all our private stuff, yeah, we've been getting everything ready.
Now, how many, when you go out and take a trip, go to, say, one of these blinds you just got in the allocation,
mm-hmm.
How many people go out with you? You know, how many days till you're good and set and you feel confident that your blinds are ready to go?
That they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, so right now, I mean, what we have out Sunday, we went out and did some work. I mean, there'll be 4 to 6 of us. If we're lucky, we'll have 6. But usually it'll be 4 of us. But when we go to brushing, we'll get 8-10 guys, get 3-4 boats and fill them all full of brush and get it done. But you got to get them ready first. So we'll put, it's like a lot of these are open water blinds. So when you build a blind, you know, it's squared off. It's a box. It looks like a duck blind. Yeah. So one tip we do is we put a beaver hood on them. And what we mean by that, and then we just did some of this, is about, we'll get like 8-10 foot 2x4s. And we'll run them off the walls out into the water and drive a post. And then you screw that board to the blind in the post, and then you run panel over it, and it makes it easier to brush. But what that blind turns into is, instead of the square, boxy duck blind look, it looks like a natural, like where a beaver den or something would be. And then, you know, you kind of something to stick out, you know, to be, not stick out, but be a little different and look more real. Be more natural, I guess, yeah. Is what I'm trying to say.
Kind of cut some of the angles off
yeah,
the blind.
Yeah, but yeah, you ain't, when you're doing everything by boat, you're not doing it by yourself. So, yeah, we try to get as many guys as possible.
Right.
But yeah.
Hauling some of that stuff out has got to suck.
Yeah,
like panels.
Yeah. Oh, the 20-foot panels. Yeah, like when I build the blind, we'll build. You know, we'll frame up the wall sections. You know, what you got? 4 walls, a roof, and a floor, and then you got all these posts because you got to have the floor sitting up on posts. But when you got to, that's a lot of weight in a boat. You know, and plus all your tools, drivers, whatever.
Yeah.
But you got to think about it when you even got to be strategic when you're putting it in there. Yeah. You know, we put the, you know, you figure, okay, so we got to get the floor first, so the floor's got to go in last, so you ain't taking all the walls off and all that. But so you want to get your floor up, obviously your foundation, and then you start, you know, getting your walls up, and then the roof slide on, but then put the last wall on. But yeah. And I couldn't tell you the amount of willows that'll go in those boats. And, you know, you think about when you go to just set decoys, like you're talking about all the stuff, all the weight and stuff in the boat. You know, I think my boat will hold, you know, 700 decoys, and then they all got 1-2 pound weights on them. That's a lot of weight.
Right.
I feel bad for my boat trailer. But I got a 20-foot War Eagle, 115 Suzuki, so it does the job.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice ride. Now, you mentioned doing some dog training.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I haven't met him yet.
Yeah, Bo, the new one.
The new pup.
Yeah, yeah. He's my old veteran hound, Rock. He's Bo's his backup QB right now. We're getting him trained up, yeah. A lot of guys will send them off, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've sent dogs off to trainers. I'm no professional trainer by no means, but I've been around it forever. So all it takes to train a dog, patience, and bite that lip when he ain't wanting to do everything just right. And if you get too frustrated, especially in the pup stages, just let it go for a few hours and come back and try again.
Yeah.
But he is 12 weeks now. I'm starting to – I don't want to get too – I'm going to knock on wood here before he starts going the other way. But right now we got him sitting, staying, healing. He's retrieving. I built a ramp with a box on it, because that's how a lot of the dog box styles are on our blinds. So he's coming up that ramp. I got him kenneling good, swimming good. So he's got a good teacher though, Rock.
Yeah,
that's my boy. They're both black lab males, and they've I think he's going to be a good one too. Rock, he's going to be 9 this year. He's got 2-3 years, but you can already see he's slowing down a little bit. Had a pretty bad injury last year, so it'd be good to rotate him.
Yeah.
You know, give him a little break here and there.
Now, will the pup see action in the fall?
You know, we're just going to see how things go. Maybe not so much earlier on, but, you know, maybe around December, he'd be, you know, he's getting a little older, getting the hang of things a little more. Yeah. We'll just see where he's at by then.
Okay.
Honestly, I'll probably take him out teal season a little bit, let him get the feel. That's good work on a dog, too. So we'll see. I saved some snow geese. Just froze them for training, and before I even knew I was going to get a pup this year, I cut the wing off of one the other night. In fact, we get introduce them to feathers and stuff, and man, that's what a difference that makes. And there, you know, he's 12. You know, that was at 9 weeks.
Yeah,
and I mean, he already knows what that's like and feeling that out. You think he's good on the bumper, you get the real deal out there, then they really want to work. But I do 2-3. 20-30 minute sessions with him every day. Don't wear him out, but you know, keep it fun. But he's coming right along. He's coming right along.
Where did Bo come from?
He come from a buddy of mine, and around the St. Louis area.
Okay.
His trainer had a male, and he had a female, and they bred, and it's good bloodline. Just had some pups and kept. I watched him the whole time. They had different colored collars on them dogs when he was sending Snapchats and stuff. You need one. You need one. He kept saying that. And the whole time I'm watching that one with the green collar, like, don't do it. Don't do it. And he showed up to the duck blind draw with him. I go, I'll write you a check. He got me.
That's
but
awesome.
But no, I'm glad. I'm glad because, you know, Rock's getting older, and you know, he'd be good to fill in here and there.
Rock's a good dog. Yeah. Though.
The main thing with dogs too that I found when you're doing off season work, when you're hunting, I don't care if you know it's going to be a bad day and you ain't going to kill nothing. Take them dogs with you. Let them learn the layout of the land, the blind, the ramps. You know, the boat rides. Just step A through Z, getting in the truck in the morning, getting in the kennel, or, you know, a lot of times they ride up front with me. Just let them get in a routine. Repetition is all it is, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's helped me tremendously.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I should be a dog trainer. I don't know.
We could always use another good dog.
That's one thing with this duck hunting. I mean, you got to be a jack of all trades. You got to be a carpenter, laborer. You got to be a dog trainer. You got to be a boat captain. You got to be all of it.
Right.
Mechanic.
Tell our listeners how they can follow you or get a hold of you or see your products.
So if you're looking for a duck goose or turkey call or some apparel or whatever that we make, you can call us at the shop. It's 1-618-232-9500, or you can visit us online at www.foilsmigrators.com. And if you're looking to book a hunt with us, look up Harpole's Heartland Lodge, or you can also call us at the shop at 618-232-9500.
You know, for all you listeners out there, we hope you enjoyed yourselves. Hope maybe you picked up a thing or two that could be beneficial to you in the outdoors. And thank you for your time today. Thanks, Cole.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Hunting and fishing, loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes. Let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. That's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God.